Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska House has passed a state operating budget rejecting the level of cuts proposed by Governor Mike Dunleavy, sending it to the Senate for further work. Cuts were made to areas like the university system, ferry system, and Medicaid. The lawmakers were told the state has flexibility to make some additional Medicaid cuts. Minority House Republicans unsuccessfully sought continued debate on proposed amendments, including some they said dealt with the Alaska Permanent Fund dividends. More on that on tonight's Alaska News Nightly. Over the past 2 years, Alaska's cruise ship inspectors, called Ocean Rangers, have documented a pattern of potentially serious water pollution. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, there's been no apparent action by regulators. And Governor Dunleavy's administration wants to get rid of the inspectors.
Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Jason Bruni recently told state lawmakers that the cruise industry is overregulated.
No other industry in the state is subjected to 24/7 on-site observers.
These inspectors aren't costing the state any money. They're paid for by cruise ship passengers. Even still, Bruni said the inspection regime doesn't do much for the state. But a series of public records requests by Coast Alaska found that over 2 years, onboard inspectors have regularly documented foamy, oily sheens discharged by vessels both in port and while underway. Ironically, the source of many of these discharges is pollution control equipment installed to meet EPA regulations. Exhaust gas cleaning systems, commonly known as scrubbers, effectively use seawater to scrub engine exhaust of sulfur and heavy metals. What happens after that exhaust system gets scrubbed depends on the system a cruise company uses. Carnival Corporation has invested $500 million in open-loop systems designed to discharge the scrubbed water out to sea. And records show DEC's received a number of public complaints about those systems. Carnival Cruise Line's Senior Vice President Mike Kaczmarek says its fleet isn't polluting the water.
You know, there's been an occasional surface effect, what we call a surface effect, which comes from the discharge of the scrubbers into the surrounding water. And then occasionally you can get some foam on the surface, same kind of foam that you might get if you turned on the faucet in a sink full of water and you create some foam. It's the exact same thing.
But some researchers say it's not the same at all.
These open-loop scrubbers basically are converting air pollution into water pollution.
Brian Comer is a senior marine program researcher with the International Council on Clean Transportation in Washington, D.C. He reviewed the documents obtained in Coast Alaska's records request.
The onboard inspectors are showing clear evidence of what, to me, is very concerning. If you look at the pictures that are associated with these Ocean Ranger reports, you can clearly see that there's discoloration and oily film in some cases in the water. And that, you would think, would deserve some sort of follow-up.
The follow-up has been mixed. Records show in 2017, DEC notified Carnival subsidiary ships of potential violations under its spill authority. Then it reversed itself and said the discharge rules are up to EPA. What happened next isn't clear. DEC redacted conclusions in its compliance reports, arguing enforcement is still possible. DEC officials wouldn't agree to an interview. In a written statement, the agency says it's still studying the issue. At the federal level, it gets more complicated. Carnival and EPA signed a consent agreement a year ago over its newly installed scrubbers failing to meet federal water quality standards in Alaska. Carnival paid a fine and agreed to monitor its scrubber discharges last year. It agreed to report its findings to EPA and DEC by the end of January and eventually publish them. Both agencies say they haven't received the report. In a statement, DEC pledged to follow up with Carnival and EPA to find out why. Environmental groups are trying to pressure Carnival to stop burning heavy fuel oil. Instead, the Miami-based corporation has turned to scrubbers. Friends of the Earth's legal director, Marcy Kiever, says the global effort to reduce greenhouse gases has created a new problem.
People wanted the smokestack emissions to go down, and this was the industry's answer. And now we're seeing the unintended consequences of these new technologies.
The debate over scrubbers, and open-loop systems in particular, is ongoing worldwide. Communities in Asia, the Middle East, and Europe have banned running open-loop systems while in port. Alaska regulators claim their hands are tied with scrubbers. Congress passed a law last year explicitly giving the feds authority to regulate scrubber discharge.
It's just incredible to me that the industry continues to get away with it and that, frankly, our regulatory agencies let them.
But if you ask Carnival executive Mike Kaczmarek, the cruise industry doesn't see a problem.
All of our research and investigations always lead us back to the same conclusion, and that is that we're doing a very good thing for air emissions quality, which is very helpful for human health, particularly in operations close to land. But beyond that, we're also extremely confident in the fact that we have a negligible impact upon the ocean environment as well.
Alaska's ocean rangers will be on the job for Alaska's cruise season, which begins at the end of the month. But whether they'll remain in place after that depends on the legislature. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
U.S. Attorney William Barr yesterday said he plans to see for himself the hardship crime imposes in rural Alaska.
Well, I think Alaska Native women, face unacceptably high levels of violence in very remote areas. And I've actually scheduled a trip up to Alaska specifically to visit some of these communities.
Barr spoke in response to questions from Senator Lisa Murkowski at an appropriations hearing. He called for creative and effective solutions to help a vulnerable population. The U.S. House recently passed a bill that takes a new approach by essentially establishing pockets of Indian country in Alaska, at least on a trial basis. The renewal of the Violence Against Women Act would empower tribal courts in up to 5 Alaska villages to take up cases of domestic abuse and other violent crimes, even where the suspect is non-native. An amendment by Congressman Don Young strengthened the pilot program by saying the jurisdiction could be over an entire village. The Senate has not voted on the VAWA renewal bill yet. Barr provided no detail about the timing or the itinerary of his upcoming trip. Staffing has been a concern for the Juneau Police Department for years, especially amid rising crime rates. But Police Chief Ed Mercer said today staff levels are improving during a presentation before the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. Last year, the department had 13 officer vacancies. That number is now down to 6, and they recently added 2 new civilian positions to help with the workload. Mercer said the civilian investigators came on in January and are already helping with some of the research and administrative tasks that are crucial to police work.
It's on the early stages, so we're going to evaluate it as it continues to go on. We certainly don't want to inundate them with too much work initially, so they're going through a training process, and ultimately, I'm pretty positive and excited about having this opportunity there.
Mercer said the department's criminal investigations unit is now fully staffed. Although crime statistics fell overall in 2018 from the previous year, they remain high compared to several years ago. Vehicle theft and burglary in particular have spiked over the past 5 years. A quarter of the department's dispatcher positions remain vacant. Those staff members answer 911 calls and coordinate with partner agencies like the Alaska State Troopers and the Coast Guard. Federal law enforcement officials say they've prosecuted more than a dozen people involved in a drug trafficking and money laundering ring in Kodiak. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Anchorage, 13 individuals have been convicted for a range of crimes connected to bringing illegal drugs to the island. The investigation started in 2016, prompted by community outrage over criminal drug sales. The effort was spearheaded by a section of the Coast Guard, which worked with federal, state, and local partners. Investigators say they found heroin and methamphetamine brought to Kodiak through mail, freight, and human carriers. The money laundering convictions stem from sending drug proceeds off the island via bank transfer and money exchanges. The Justice Department says the activity also involved use of illegal firearms. Officials say not everyone convicted was associated with one another. Several of those named by the Justice Department live out of state. Sentences range from 9 years in prison to time served or probation. Costa's recriminatory condition packed the house last night at the 45th Annual Alaska Folk Festival. Members of the band include lead vocalist Colette Costa and all of her friends, 9 members in total, plus a few special guests. The band's closing number, En Vogue's Free Your Mind, brought the audience to their feet for a standing ovation. The Alaska Folk Fest resumes tonight at 7 p.m. live at Centennial Hall. This year's featured artists, Los Tex Maniacs, will hit the main stage at 8 p.m. You can also listen in at KRNN 102.7 FM or stream Folkfest online at ktoo.org/folkfest.